adults who are not qualified to be dog catchers.
Yep. So. Yep, and there are a plethora of them.
More of them. So
that's most of the leadership training that I went through actually was done at ION Center in Petaluma. You couldn't throw a stone without hitting a life coach. And it just used to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
That's why I like to use the PhD, because with that comes, again, the implied thing that she has training, she has background. This is not just someone who took a six-week course.
That's right. That's the problem, was a throwaway course. And so you do get them as dime a dozen.
Yeah, or learning to speak.
Right.
It was learning the language, and then all of a sudden you became a life coach. And it was like, what does that even mean?
And what do you do as a life coach when you step into someone's therapeutic issues?
Exactly.
With absolutely no ability to even know you're there, much less what to do with it.
And what they would do is step around it.
So, yeah, that's a real soap. No, you do not want me to start talking on that, because I turn red in the face.
Oh, you do?
I get upset.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen that.
I get really upset about it. The life coach training that I did was ILCT, and it was specifically for therapists who wanted to incorporate this
life
direct
coaching
model into the work that they did. And so,
big difference.
Yeah, I'm really protective and also very much an advocate. Don't just go see a life coach.
Yep. And I like to focus on the internal family system.
Yeah.
That as we lose the external family system.
I love that.
Do you want to talk about how? Do you want to talk about how sometimes that family system may start to fall away as we get older?
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah, that,
and
that's
how
a key
that
thing.
Lends oh, itself
absolutely.
To last having man's. To count on ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, last man standing. Have had a great family. Now I'm the last one standing.
They're all busy.
And I don't I haven't evolved a chosen family.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really important to bring up, because it's something that people don't see happening because it's so transitional for them. And all of a sudden, the words are, they don't have time, they've got families of their own, and that's
children
like
don't pay attention.
They're living their own lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
we're
all
migratory.
Of those excuses.
Everybody's
they live too far
everywhere.
Away. Mm-hmm.
They're grateful
which is
they
so
do.
Sad. Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many issues.
But the alternative is this kind of program helps us.
And that's the whole, so we really want to emphasize that too. Mm-hmm.
And it's the consciousness part, the choosing to talk about it, the choosing to think about it, the choosing to design and take action about it. Not only what I like about IONS is that they focus on not only our personal changes, but that our personal changes then begin to change the world
well.
So I think that's the contribution that they make.
And then I did write down Kathy Bonino's email address. She's the one that sponsors the local IONS group.
Okay, great.
And they have a meeting this coming Sunday. They meet on Sunday afternoons.
Great.
So I thought if I throw that out, it'll be a nod to the local IONS group.
Now, one of the things that you're going to get is people who want to know if you're going to be doing another series, if it's going to be coming up, and how they will be able.
544-2266.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Waiting list. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Sure.
And you can mention if you want. Hey, Frank, you can mention if you want Hospice Slow. I'm real careful about not doing anything to promote it, because I'm working here. I'm working for the Community Foundation.
So I can say I work there.
Oh, yeah, you can. I remain neutral. On all of it. And my role is just to facilitate the conversation. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it.
Three women, we should be able to fill an hour, right?
That would also be an opportunity to talk about the volunteer program because you operate a staff. I'm here as a professional volunteer.
I think that's really important,
yeah,
too.
That people can come and be a part of hospice, mm-hmm, as a volunteer.
Mm-hmm. That hospice actually, mm-hmm, is a conscious, mm-hmm, organization.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah,
your participation.
Make sure you say Hospice of San Luis Obispo County, otherwise they won't,
yeah,
know which one.
Yeah.
True. How you doing, Frank? I just wanted to test you. Good? Good.
I saw that wonderful cruise or visit or something he's running.
He's
nice.
He's a station manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, to Italy. And
doesn't that look good?
Oh, I know. I thought, gosh, I'd like to do that.
One minute.
Gotcha.
I had the objectives.
And this really is you just talking off,
yeah,
the cuff about what you know so well.
Okay.
It's relaxing and having a conversation. I promise you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how choices today will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. What if rather than dreading getting old, we could embrace it? How would our lives be different if we mature, and if we could find ourselves as we age having vitality and purpose? Conscious Aging is a unique program for seniors looking for guidance, meaning-making, connection, and community to help fortify themselves for their aging years. The focus of Conscious Aging workshop series is to invite shifts in consciousness away from self-limitation, lack, isolation, and fear. My guests today are to talk more about this way of cultivating wisdom and celebrating life, and they are Kathy Murthy, PhD, and Rosalind Stroll, who's a licensed marriage and family therapist, and both are certified facilitators for conscious aging workshops through the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and thank you today for joining me.
Glad to
You're
be
welcome.
Here.
This is a really, you know, as we are aging as a population, which we keep hearing about, we are, and I know we are, this is such an important topic, so I'm really excited that both of you are here today. And I want to quickly remind listeners that if you have a question or comment in our conversation today, we invite you to join us, and you can do that by calling us at 781-3875. One more time, 781-3875. So Let's start today with talking a little bit about what led you to this. Who are you in relationship to this, and what led you here? And Kathy, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, my own aging.
Hmm.
So, you know, I always say we teach what we need to learn the most. And so going into this part, this developmental stage of our lives, really called for me to become conscious, intentional, purposeful, mindful about how I want to be. And so I studied it. And then in studying it, of course, then I want to teach it. And we found the program that IONS has developed, and it's really a beautifully designed program to help take people through the topics, the concerns, what needs to be discussed and dealt with. I think it's evidenced by the fact that when we offered this first class at Hospice SLO, the response that we got a huge response. Mm. People wanting to have these discussions, be involved in the study. And so so first of all, it's my own aging, as well as the aging population now is growing.
And now your background is as a therapist, and you also had a focus in other than doing traditional therapy, you've also had another focus, correct?
About 10 years ago, I shifted my focus from doing therapeutic work to doing life coaching, and actually wrote a book on designing your life. At that point, it was directed towards young people and middle-aged people to stop and take a look at their lives and decide who they were, what they wanted, and how they were going to live based on that information. And that's the exact same thing that we're doing in this work, which at this stage of our lives, who are you?
And this is the next stage for you in looking at now the next stage of how do we design that around what we need.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. And Roslyn, you've been a therapist here for...
Forever.
No, not forever.
Since 1984.
Wow, that's forever. No, I'm kidding. And you still see clients.
I see clients as a part-time counselor at Hospice of San Luis Obispo County. I closed my private practice after many wonderful years in a variety of fields, mostly focusing on family counseling and child counseling, which was very rich and led me into some wonderful areas and wonderful conversations over the years. Mm-hmm. But the developmental stages, both of a family of systems, the developmental stages of systems and of individuals, is really a passion of mine. So learning to take events that might broadside us through life or change a family system radically can be looked at not just therapeutically, but also as the life story of the soul. And that coming together of science and spirituality, if you will, is exactly what IONS.
And that's, IONS is the Institute for Noetic Sciences.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's their focus. So they, they have groups all over the world, really, and you can connect with them also on Facebook. But those areas where you're putting together things that don't normally get put together in our culture and apply it to this stage of life, it's an opening up rather than a closing down.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you see as one of the bigger concerns that you have about our culture's attitude towards aging and as a result our own?
Well, it's not an honoring of the wisdom, the hard-won wisdom over a lifetime. And unfortunately, we tend to internalize that as well. We tend to buy into the messages that our culture sends us about our agedness. And so I think that's the major discussion to be had, which is how do we counter that? How do we respond to the, quite frankly, we all know the negative picture of aging and value of the aged in our worlds. So I think that's the first and the best conversations to be had. What is our value even at this stage in our lives? Because we get to decide and we need to decide for ourselves.
And from a family system standpoint, Roslyn, when we don't honor the wisdom of aging, what happens within that system? What happens to the older person in that system? What do they become?
Well, I think culturally there's a my decision is informed also by narrative therapy, which is about honoring all stages of life and all communities. Mm-hmm. So in our culture where aging is not regarded as saging, where you're discardable, where families may be really distant, or you find your mother, your father, and your siblings are dead, and as quite a few clients have said to me, I'm the last one standing. And that isolation is really the dominant culture story of our lives, but we can change that. You know, what Kathy and I have talked about a lot is this honoring of each other in this saging time of life.
When you started this workshop series, were you hearing from individuals locally what kind of drove them? You said that they were really interested and embraced this and wanted it, and you had a waiting list. What was it that they were saying themselves was something that was compelling them for this information?
Well, I think that's really broad. And it came up in our first session together. Why are you here? What called you to this class? And a lot of times it's fear. So
fear.
So fear of illnesses, a fear of being in an illness. We have, you know, some people are actively have serious illnesses or have been long-term caregivers and are exhausted by that process and feeling unsupported. In the beginning, we weren't hearing, I'm here to celebrate this stage of my life. And the course is about being able to name those fears and then shift into a different consciousness, different language, different way of holding myself and holding others. That I see. I've even found that in many of the groups with older people, they spend so long isolated that they're not getting eye contact. So one of the things we do is help them bring their eyes down off the ceiling and actually go with a soft focus and embrace each other's eyes. And it's a life-changing kind of positioning for an older person. Used to talking to themselves, looking around vaguely, you know, not really connecting with their own lives, their own heart.
You mentioned, Kathy, the wisdom. We don't honor the wisdom of aging, and in some cultures they do. The elders have the experience, the history, and they're sought after for sage advice. And in our culture, it seems that the older we get, the more out of touch we're perceived to be, or doddering, or you know, that there's this misperception that we no longer have a vital use, a function.
And I don't perceive that the change is going to come from the younger generations. I think the change in that is going to have to come from us, where we're going to be the ones to, first of all, honor and own our wisdom, to crystallize it, to be able to speak it and know it, and then to stand up and say, I am here. And I do have something to say, and I have something to add, and I have something to contribute. And that change is going to come from this population, which is growing by leaps and bounds. And it's going to be a major demographic, already is, but even more so. And so I wanted to add on to what Rosalind was saying about isolation. That's what I heard when people first came to this class, which is, I'm lonely and I needed a place to talk. I needed a place where we could have these deeper conversations, because in my world, we're not having this conversation. And that's what I heard them respond to, as well as their fears.
Even with their peers?
I would say yes. Even if you go to organizations, it's oftentimes about doing. You know, I go to my knitting group, or I go to different things that I do. But to shift into this group where you're the reason to be there is to be, to be, to sit grounded, to open mm-hmm. your heart, to deepen your breath, to be present to all of it, the fears, the grace, the anger, the terror sometimes when people talk about, I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want to have Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the demographic for mm-hmm. it. So
I don't want to lose function.
I don't want to lose function. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't want to lose control over who and what I am. Mm-hmm. But I'm already feeling some invisibility. Mm-hmm. People frequently talk about going into stores and walking downtown and feeling like they're in a bubble, being seen.
Yeah. I know my mother, after she reached the age of 80, she described herself as feeling invisible and that she was disappearing. She would use those words as disappearing to people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Do you?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing about this class format that we have, the topics that we present not only are we asking them to give voice to their fears and anxieties and all of that, but then we're also talking about the strengthening, the skills, the things that we can do. In our last class, we talked about how to develop self-compassion.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, it's the way we addressed it was the first thing we did was we asked them to identify their negative thoughts about aging, their negative beliefs, limiting beliefs about themselves, and then to find a way to embrace themselves with that, because there is some truth to some of our fears and anxieties.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it's how we approach mm-hmm. them. It's how we deal with them, how we process them. Rosalind would say how we hold them.
How we hold them.
Yeah, exactly. And when we hold it, first of all, in the energy of caring about ourselves and taking care of ourselves, then it tends to soften a little bit, and we have more compassion for self. And with that comes a better treatment of self. We tend to do more for ourselves, because the definition of self-compassion is to love oneself.
Is there something, too, when speaking it out loud, and putting it in our own words, rather than just being inundated by commercials or by perception or by how we're treated, is there something then that is more empowering?
I think you're talking about visibility, even hearing your own voice. I mean, we begin our sessions with some grounding kinds of exercises, because when you walk in and you've been alone most of the week, you're kind of floaty. And so we found that literally feet flat on the floor, we do some breathing exercises. We talk about creating space around your heart and keeping your back, your posture good, because that helps you know I'm in this body, all of me, all the different faces of me. And that's multiplied by everybody else in this room who's connecting with me and is more or less here for the same reason. So yes, I think hearing, so we do small group work also, so that they get to share their ideas in small groups. We also expand out to a larger group. There's a kind of format each week that we in general follow that allows people to hear their own voice, to feel it, and to have it resonated back to them by people actually listening to their words.
And you have a wide range of ages.
Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah.
From?
Gosh, we haven't asked people to actually give their age. so I don't know what the actual ages are, but I'd say it's probably a span of 30 years.
Okay.
At least, yes.
And what if someone was going to begin to explore this, you know, really starting to make a conscious decision about aging consciously, at what age would they do that?
This takes me back to my work with children, because there's something we call the observing self. And conversations with children are phenomenal, because you begin to hear their observing self emerge.
Explain what observing self is.
Well, there's a wonderful story from India about there are two birds in the tree. The one sings and the other listens.
Hmm.
And that's really a picture of the active self, the engaged self, engaged with the world, and then the observing self that's watching that engagement and even able, from the time we're little, but really in the saging period of our lives, we have a whole family inside us.
Yeah.
And being able to watch that interaction, or if I get stuck in a part of me that's fearful, what other part of my internal family can come and stand beside that fearful person and strengthen her?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a kind of internal, it's a non-pathological way of looking at how we are multiple inside, but we can use it in a really creative way.
And what you're getting back to is that we need to focus on empowering ourselves rather than somehow it's going to happen external to us.
And co-creating our lives. I think, you know, the other thing is, yes, I have my reflective self inside, but I also need your reflection to make my life work. None of us exist as an island, as they say, but the joy is in the co-creation. So I know there's friends that I go and see because their laughter is life enriching for me. And so I'm softer around other parts of their personality even maybe because there's such a richness in the fact that we laugh together. So I think there's both a graciousness that comes into that saging period, but we hang on to the co-creation of life, and it's important that we do sit up straight, we do get out in the community, we do connect and support each other.
What? Let me take just a moment. You're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, public supported radio for the Central Coast from Monterey to Ventura County. If you just joined us, today's show is about conscious aging, a process that involves an awareness of ourselves and the world, including our thoughts, feelings, sensations, identity, and worldviews. My guests are Kathy Murphy, PhD, and Rosalind Stroll, licensed marriage and family therapists, and both are certified facilitators for conscious aging workshops through the Institute of Noetic Sciences. You too can be a part of today's conversation. The show is live and we're taking calls. We welcome your comments and questions, and you can bring those into the conversation by calling 781-3875. Again, love to have you join us at 781-3875. So where do you progress from that? Where do you go from that embracing? I mean, it sounds like just the fact you were talking about making eye contact, I really hadn't thought of how we disappear ourselves.
We disappear ourselves, yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
One of the things also that Rosalind said that is so important and so helpful is having people sit together in this experience, one being given the support and the permission to speak, and then having someone that has been trained in how to receive and how to hear and how to listen and how to reflect back. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I want people to know about this particular program is that it's not where you come in and you're being taught, but it is a participatory. The classes are set up so that there is a topic, but then it involves your own centering and going into your own inner self and accessing that, and then given an opportunity to speak one-on-one with another person in the group with you. And then we do large group speaking. We also do writing where you can learn to talk to yourself. And this is what the consciousness is all about, which is becoming aware of how we are thinking, feeling about particularly these topics in this part of our life, because most of the time in our lives we react our way through life as opposed to stepping back and being an observer of what just happened there. How did that impact me? How do I want to be with that? So the experience in this group tries to hit all of those different dimensions where we get to access our wisdom, speak our wisdom, have our wisdom heard, and then even go deeper in mm-hmm. our writing and proclamations.
And it's a kind of seeding.
Move closer.
It's a kind of seeding process too, because there are the workbooks that have some lovely meditations in them, wisdom writings in them, writings from people who are connected with IONS. So you're kind of fed things to think about from people who've done considerable thinking and writing and talking themselves. The program was evolved over a long period of time, actually, and was tested before the workbooks were presented, and they're very careful about training their facilitators so that the experience will be successful.
And you make a good point. This isn't something that just kind of was flukily mm-hmm. thrown together. This came right. out of the Institute for Noetic mm-hmm. Sciences, mm-hmm. and it evolved over a number of years.
It did, and it really was regarded as an important research project, so that the saging community, the eldering community, yeah. let's say, is another way to put it, can actually be strengthened in their work in the world.
Yeah.
That we do have work in the world to do.
We have a call from Bill. So, Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi. This is a really timely topic for me. I'm going to be 73 tomorrow.
Congratulations.
I've been talking to a friend of mine who's in his mid-60s, and is going through kind of an existential crisis in that he's splitting up with his wife, and he doesn't know what to do with the rest of his life. And I tried to point out to him that, you know, when you're real young, you're a slave to your parents, and when you're in your 20s, you're a slave to your hormones, and when you're in your 30s, you're a slave to your wife and children. And, you know, but when you get to be 65, you're free. If you've played your cards right, you've got a little extra money to play with. And, you know, what are you going to do with your freedom? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that would be a topic that you could explore a little bit about, you know, when you're 65, your children are raised, you're comfortable, supposedly. And what are you going to do with all that freedom? Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want to respond to that?
Yeah, being a life coach that helps people design their lives, that's a beautiful question. It's also a terrifying question for people because they often don't know. When you ask them, what do you want? Because of the things that you pointed out, Bill, that we've been slave to prior to, we really haven't had time to stop and think, what do we really want? If we were free, if we could do whatever we wanted to do. So oftentimes we need a lot of support. We need a lot of help in coming to some discovery about that. So, and when we don't know what we want and we don't have that inner voice speaking to us, we tend to just follow the crowd and follow the flow of what's going on out there and what other people tell us we should want or could want. And in our culture, in the stage of our lives, that's a difficult place to be, following what they tell us. We should just go home, sit down, and be quiet. So, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
And then the next stage of our life is going to be we're going to be slaves to our deteriorating bodies.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, so we should take advantage of, you know, the fact that between your 60s and your mid-70s, you've got a relative, you know, window at, you know, experiencing life.
Yeah.
I like, Bill, that you're bringing up that you have a choice between regarding it as enslavement or to be a freed man. And to be a freeman is a huge responsibility and, as Kathy said, terrifying because the map has been there up till that point. Yeah. And now we're in this mapless period where you could have all kinds of creative thoughts, but the dominant culture doesn't support you in evolving them when you're in the saging stage. So I love the idea that you are one of the reflecting team for your friend. And yes. I think as we form those reflecting teams, and that expands then to community, we're going to support each other into renaming retirement, because it's a terrible word, retirement. I'm going to get tired again?
Yeah.
No.
Over and over.
Yeah.
Retiring.
No, we need a little solidarity here.
Yes.
I heard someone say it's a refirement. This could be your refirement. What do you want to be fired up about now?
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling.
Have fun exploring that idea.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Sure, bye.
Bye. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing that Bill was addressing, which is we have all these roles as we're younger, but as we get age, mm-hmm. our roles change.
Particularly the soul they referred to as the elder orphan. What a terrible name to give myself, to say I'm an elder orphan. But if you don't have grandchildren close, if you don't have a sort of built-in role that
right.
that has already been named for you in your culture, what are you going to do? And how do you want to name yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And how are you going to connect with people? Well, you can rediscover old passions, you know, and bring people mm-hmm. into your life very easily if you find three more people that want to do something the same as you do, and then say, well, why don't we do that once a month? That's mm-hmm. one way to do it. But these other deeper discussion groups are a whole other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Earlier you mentioned that we don't have these discussions, but you also mentioned, Kathy, we don't bring these discussions yes. ourselves. Mm-hmm. So you're really teaching people mm-hmm. how to not only be present, but then to give voice to what it is they're mm-hmm. thinking and feeling and
that's right.
wanting. Mm-hmm.
And the narrative therapy people will say you are both the main character and the creator of your story. So you get to decide who the other characters are in your story. Mm-hmm. Tremendous freedom in that. I can now choose to have in my life people who enrich me, who I know I can give into their lives. There's a reciprocity that exists through earlier parts of our lives that's kind of more or less built in. But when we're aging and saging, we have to seek out the places where we want to be giving to the world. Mm-hmm. What's the intersection between my profession, my passion, my vocation? You know, all these things come together. But after, let's say, 60 or so, it's not as defined. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time in our work careers answering the question, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when that what do you do goes away, mm-hmm. what do yeah. you do?
Then the question can become, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
What's really important to you? Mm-hmm. What are your mm-hmm. values? What's mm-hmm. the essence? Why do you think you're here? Deeper questions like that can then manifest into behaviors and how you choose to live. But you were talking about having these conversations.
Right.
And what's important about having these conversations is not only on an individual basis that we're all independently trying to grow and evolve, but in doing this work, having these conversations, our intention also is to change the way our culture as a whole looks at aging.
Yeah, so it's not stopping with just the individual. It's starting there.
These conversations are essential and critical to breaking this mindset that we have about this stage of development. Because as Bill so eloquently pointed out, this could be the best time of your life.
Yeah.
You know, if we embrace it that way and take it on as that, as a freedom, and do the work of deciding who you really are and what do you want and what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because you can.
And for the people who do become ill during that period and have extended illnesses, it's just as critical to have gone back and resolved one's feelings about things earlier in one's life, and to think about what am I handing on? What is my legacy? Mm-hmm. How do I want to talk about my legacy? What words are available to me? Do I just see it, as you said, as my work life, the fulfillment of my work life, and I don't exist apart from that?
Right.
Or do I even know what I mean when I say I have a soul's journey that's come along through that youth, through that young family, through my work career, and still exists? So, you know, it's not really popular to sit around and talk about soul's journey together. But boy, is it enlivening when you finally get to open up about that. And it just takes a little bit of opening up, I've found, to make other people safe. And then they want to open up too. And it's a much more fluid conversation then, because there is no right and wrong. There really is just who I am and what is my place on the earth. And as I've started referring to it myself as my unbirthing. So what do I want to do between now and my unbirthing?
Yeah.
How many breaths do I have left? You know, how do I want to spend that time? Yeah. What kinds of feeling states do I really want to not spend much time in? And that takes us back to the life review.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what I really wanted to share with you are the topics that we cover
in
conscious aging, and it'll give you some information. But tonight, in our class tonight, we are going to be doing life review, and it is for the purpose of going back through our lives. And in this facilitated process, you can begin to see that your life did have meaning and purpose and design. And you can be, usually what happens through a life review is you begin to see your strengths. You begin to see why things happened in your life the way they did. And so it's just a very, very valuable process. But out of that, we also get to see our unfinished business. We get to see areas in need of forgiveness, either forgiving others or asking for forgiveness ourselves. Some of the other topics we look at are surrendering. What do we need to surrender and let go of? We do spend an entire class talking about death and looking at our death and our legacy and that type of topic. And then we end with, what do we want our vision to be for the rest of our lives? So we do all of this work going back and looking and learning new skills like compassion, and then end up with, now what? Our hope is that people walk away from this experience going, having increased consciousness about, this is how I intend to be in this stage of my life. And I wanted to go back, Rosalyn, I think it's so important that we also talk about, there are a lot of people that are dealing with very serious physical limitations during the stage, but that doesn't mean that the work's not for them as well.
Right, right.
Okay, and
I think that's a really important point.
Absolutely.
One of the things I thought of as you were talking about, you know, as we go through life, whether it's when we have children or when we're going through school or when we're working, or we always have to adapt and change and work around, and we're prevented from doing certain things because of the life circumstances.
Right.
It's interesting that the adaptability, or the perception of the adaptability that we applied earlier in life that helped us cope with all of that, somehow is needing to fail us as we need that adaptability as we age, or as our frailty begins to increase. We need that strength. You know, we've always adapted. Now we need to continue to adapt
and to think about, what am I adapting to? And can I shift? It's been fascinating for me seeing for instance, stroke, people who've had strokes or who have aphasia. And yet for some of them, they move through anger, of course. They move through the incredible frustration of not being able to walk without a dropped foot or not be able to speak too many words, but that in the end, some of them have an amazing ability to arrive at kindness and love. So if the last things they're saying are, "You're so beautiful and I love you," that's my hero.
Yeah.
You know, that's somebody that's moved into grace even with severe disability.
Right. Right. Or someone that used to be extremely athletic that now cannot and needs to refocus energy somewhere else rather than feeling angry and a loss.
Right.
And yeah, it's a loss and finding another way to still be present.
To be present.
Yeah.
And also I think there's a particularly American sensibility about being independent that is built into us from way early.
Well, and don't you think, especially with the baby boomer population?
Yes,
I mean,
we really pride it,
because all three of us are part of that generation.
Right.
So that really was where it became paramount of that independence.
So now what do we do?
Well,
we're the ones aging. And so many people I hear struggling with acceptance. And so I think of it, I describe
and
it
as... And assistance. Yeah.
Yes. And could that be okay? And I still feel that I'm me.
Right.
So I think of it as... the Popeye arm, that the giving arm, the arm that's been giving to the world, but I get my goodies out of that.
Yeah.
That's big and strong. I love to give. I love to be the one that provides for others. But my taking arm, my receiving arm, if you will, is this puny little thing that needs exercise.
Yeah.
And so for seniors in particular, to not see it as a diminishment, but I'm going to practice graciously receiving what I need to support my being.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And I like that word practice, because one of the things that we can do for ourselves during this age is to allow ourselves to imagine not only our decreasing abilities and limitations, but also our death and the dying process as well. And to be prepared for it, and to, at this stage, start making decisions about how we want to be with that. And I love the point that you brought up of remembering we've been adapting and we've been resilient all our lives.
All our lives,
Why would we not be now?
Exactly.
Why would we not be now?
Exactly.
And just the reminding of that.
Yeah.
I think, there you go. Yeah. Reminding each other and ourselves.
You're listening to KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 FM, San Luis Obispo, 91.7 FM, Salinas to Paso Robles, 89.95 FM, Santa Barbara, and on the web at kcbx.org. We often assume the solutions we're seeking come from outside ourselves. However, we need to also recognize the problems as well as their solutions arise from within. Today, we're talking about a program that encourages seniors to explore consciousness in ways that help them become more balanced, self-compassionate, and intentions about their aging. My guests for today are talking about conscious aging, and they're Kathy Murphy, PhD, Rosalind Stroll, their licensed marriage and family therapist, and both are certified instructors for conscious aging workshops through the Institute of Noetic Sciences. We have about 15 minutes left in today's show, and you still have time to bring a couple of your questions or comments into the discussion at 781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. So there are how many workshops, I mean, how many in the series? How many times do you meet together?
It's designed to be an 8-session series.
Okay.
Currently, we are running it every other week for an hour and a half meeting. And I said we're doing that currently because this is our pilot program and seeing how it's working out. So, but Hospice of San Luis will continue to offer this as a free offering to the community, and it's just a tremendous gift for us to be able to offer this and to have this conversation. But in the future, we'll see how it unfolds in terms of when and how we meet.
And is there work that people do on their own in between the weeks?
In our format, yes. There's the workbook that they can dip into, journal in. We've encouraged them to have journals. My idea that we've shared in there is to start at one end with all your questions about aging, and then at the other end, start doing your conscious answers to those questions. But there is actually room in the workbook to do that as well. There are other formats. This is a worldwide organization, so there are many different formats, some of which other facilitators would be doing a weekend workshop, mm-hmm. for instance, mm-hmm. a group in their private practice, perhaps. It's common for churches mm-hmm. to sponsor conscious aging mm-hmm. workshops mm-hmm. and groups mm-hmm. and community building. Mm-hmm. It is meant to be community building.
I was going to say that's a really important point, because it's not mm-hmm. just self-awareness. Mm-hmm. It's global awareness.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very much so. And so a lot of times I think it leads you to think about where am I going to be giving at this point? Do I have the energy to do some sort of eldering volunteer work overseas still? Am I more restricted? Can I not drive at night? What would that look like? But that's a creative process.
Right.
If you mm-hmm. embrace it as such, right. it's a creative process
right.
to figure, within the limitations that I have now, how do I connect with and continue to give to
and
the
live.
World and live.
Yeah, and
yeah.
live. Let's take a call from Todd here. Todd, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, you guys were just pointing out on cultural differences, and in my mind, I see that more in the industrialized countries, Europe, United States, and the like, where it's a disposable community, right?
Mm.
So a lot of what you're touching on is, where do I fit in a society that really doesn't honor elderly or elders mm-hmm. in my teachings, where they're actually reverend with, you know, a wealth of information and given such compassion and concern, where here in the United States or in other spots, it's a very struggling issue. Structural violence. So capitalism talks about, you know, work, 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 and you guys are talking about the end of that working cycle.
Right.
Now, who am I or where am I? What have I done with my life? And that's really sad, and I think that should be addressed at an early age and nurtured accordingly mm-hmm. so we don't have this failing at the end of our path, for lack of better terms.
That's,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes
absolutely.
Absolute sense.
Absolutely.
Todd, you bring up a great point.
Which is why I really like to
emphasize.
I mean,
we're just teaching the wrong
yeah.
styles, honestly, for the past, you know, 300 years.
Yeah.
You know, look at where we're at right now with capitalism and the like. That's doing nothing for us, our human being, our Mother Earth. I mean, this is the time where we really need to take a new direction all across the board. Aging mm-hmm. people, education, and on and on and on. But
yeah.
I really appreciate your conversation. Thank you.
Thank you,
Todd. And
yeah.
Todd speaks to what you were talking about, mm-hmm. Kathy, which is it's not about the elderly mm-hmm. looking how to change the young necessarily, but it's mm-hmm. how to change all of us.
Yeah, the consciousness of all of us.
Yeah.
And that is a very stated objective of IONS. This is about changing the consciousness of the world, not just helping an individual, although that is part of the process.
Of course.
How we get there.
Yeah. Let's yeah. take a call from Ray here. Ray, are you there?
Yep.
Hi, do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. I'd like to recommend a book to the panel and to listeners. It's called Being Mortal, Medicine and What Matters in the End.
Yeah,
and we all know
about
it.
The
yeah.
New York writer who is a surgeon, Atul Gawande.
Uh-huh.
And it's a book that I would strongly recommend for spouses to discuss as they age and their children. and also physicians, because what it really stresses that sometimes the thing that matters is not the focus of what your children think should matter or what your physician thinks should matter. And it's really about what really counts and what's important to you as a person. I think it's excellently written. My wife and I are both reading it. And again, I commend it to you and all your listeners. It's Being Mortal, Medicine, and What Matters in the End. And the author is A.T.U.L. Gawande, G.A.W.A.N.D.E. And that's my comment.
It's a thank you, Ray, for that. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent, excellent book. And also, we have had in the community a showing of there was a television documentary that Atul Gawande had done,
yes,
on being mortal that also is available and can be viewed as well online. So mm-hmm. Excellent. And when you're talking with people, you're talking about choices and the fact that as we're aging, yes, we're getting closer to the end of our life, most mm-hmm. certainly, and distancing from the beginning. But you know, we can embrace that without the kind of fear that mm-hmm. tends to come yeah. around it, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of it is about moving beyond fear, bringing in knowledge, education, sharing conversations mm-hmm. That kind of steady us. You know, we talked about grounding. Grounding is also about using my brain, about bringing in information that allows me to use my brain better so that I'm not, my actions are not being driven by my emotions so
right,
much.
Right. And what Ray was talking about in the book too is that decisions that we're making for how we live and mm-hmm. also about how we die are made mm-hmm. on what you talked about, Kathy, which is who are we mm-hmm. and what are our core values, what's important to us.
Yeah, Hospice Slow also has offered another program in the community called A Year to Live, and it's a wonderful process of taking you through all of the questions and all of the thoughts and conversations that you want to have as you are preparing for your death, whether you've been diagnosed or not, but just right. the exercise of going through that. And Being Mortal is a wonderful, wonderful yeah. recommendation and reference
yeah.
for that. But he's absolutely right. We need to be having these conversations about
a lot earlier. Yeah. And let's take a call from Priscilla. Priscilla, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. Did you have a comment or question?
Yes. I am one of the blessed humans that's taking that class with these two delightful ladies right now.
Well, how is that and class?
It has made such a distinct difference in my life. I'm dealing with actually yesterday officially being diagnosed with Parkinson's. We were trying to figure it out, the doctor and I, and what have you. But the way I accepted the news was totally different because I've been examining one of the things in our lessons that we're doing about what my beliefs are. Does this mean that I'm defective in some way and I won't be able to carry on with life and what have you? And then looking at that and realizing, my God, I'm giving away all this beautiful work and wisdom I've worked on for a whole lifetime, and I only lapsed into that for maybe about 5 minutes.
What would have happened
when you mention it to other people and they look at you and they say, oh, no, that's awful. I don't feel that way. I'm feeling like I can handle it. And just these two women, you can tell they put so much into it. And I know the program itself is phenomenal. But when you have, as it were, wisdom teachers, coaches, whatever, that it means so much to, it makes a huge difference.
Priscilla, how do you think you would have handled that news before you had exposure to a different way of processing that?
I deal with mental health issues, and I think depression would have been a fairly good part of it.
Okay.
And thinking that that I'm not enough. You know, what value is my life going to have from this point forward? And I don't feel that way. I'm not saying that I haven't had a little sadness or
of course
sense of loss, but it's like I really gotten the concept since beginning this class that I've got maybe 30 years left to live. Do I want to live them fully, or do I want to mope around and say all I can do is sit around and watch TV? And I genuinely feel that way. And I also feel like, and this may not sound particularly appropriate to say, but I didn't get into this game chicken. So it's time to continue living my life with joy and having a sense of humor, especially I heard somebody say about Parkinson's, and I guess it might have been a line from James Bond somewhere about making martinis. I'd rather have it shaken rather than stirred. You know, I know I'm going to be shaking a bit different times. So, and I, like I said, that may sound irreverent, but for me, it's being new, looking at these things with new vision.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds resilient, Priscilla.
Yes, thank you. Oh. Yes, yes.
Thank you,
and
Priscilla.
You know what? Like, I can remember years ago, a group of women were talking about what menopause would be like, and nobody had ever really talked about that. But it made that process much easier, and I think that's exactly what's going on here with the education, with the discussion about death, rather than just sweeping things under the carpet.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing that, Priscilla.
I hope that was of help, because I feel so blessed. Thank you so much.
All right, Priscilla.
Thank you.
Thank you. You use the word resilience, and that's such an empowering word.
Yes.
And resilience is really what you're hoping and what you're searching for, what we are searching for in being able to stand up for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that when you get news like this, that you have a vision, an image perhaps that goes with you. How many times are we asked to be the phoenix that rises again?
Yeah.
And, we're talking about wonderful people with long lives now who
very long lives
have had to get back up and walk again over and over and over again after being knocked down.
Yeah, and, you know, kudos to Priscilla. And, you know, things are going to knock us down, and there are going to be really bad days, hard days.
That's right.
And there's something about, we were talking about independence. Mm-hmm. You know, we staunchly looked for independence as baby boomers. There's something about also being independent and looking inside ourselves for that strength, but also reaching out and reconnecting with community. Doing it in isolation isn't the answer.
Doesn't work. It does happen during the periods, like after you've had a good whack upside the head with life, we do retreat for a while.
Sure.
To heal.
Kind of recover, right?
To recover. Yeah. And also I like to talk about that after any kind of traumatic information like that, the brain goes, or a loss, losing a spouse, losing a child, the brain goes through a remapping. It actually has to figure out, how do I stay on the earth with this person no longer part of my story?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if someone was interested in signing up for a class in the future, because you're in the midst of a class now, so they couldn't start this one, how would they go about connecting to get on a list for an upcoming class, whenever that would be, to be notified?
Well, Hospice of San Luis Obispo County will keep running these groups, perhaps even be part of forming an ongoing support group, you know, a community of conscious agers. And so to be on a waiting list, you would call 544-2266. If you're not in our area, I would say go to ions.org.
It's I-O-N-S,
all caps. You'll get directions to other support systems or groups in other areas.
Great. I want to thank my guests for today's show, Kathy Murphy, PhD, Rosalind Stroll, licensed marriage and family therapist, and both certified facilitators for conscious aging workshops through the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Next week, host Fred Monroe is going to be talking with representatives from MUST Charities about what they do and the impact it has. We always appreciate your suggestions for future shows. If you have a topic, please send it to voices at KCBX. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation and made possible with underwriting by Joan Gillard Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.